Psalm 96 on page 602 in the Pew Bibles. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tamara. So we are nearing the end of our series in the Psalms, and we've got just a couple more themes to touch on before we finish. Today's psalm broadens the horizon beyond Israel and reminds us that God is the God of the universe and calls the whole world to worship. We're in book 4 of the Psalter, which according to one theory was collated to provide prayers and songs for one big Jewish festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. This was an 8-day long festival which happened at harvest time, and it was one of the times when most people would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate together. It particularly commemorated the Exodus, and in the daily acts of worship, the book of Exodus would be read section by section. Now, if this theory is correct, scholars have linked each of the 17 psalms in this book to a different day of the festival. So one psalm in the morning, one in the evening, plus Psalm 90, which we read last week as a sort of introduction to the whole event. So if that's correct, and who knows, Psalm 96 would be on the evening of day 3, when the readings would have come from Exodus 18, which is all about foreigners and their place in the land of Israel. Now, we should acknowledge that there are two attitudes to non-Jews, foreigners, portrayed in the Bible. The predominant attitude is one of welcome and inclusion. The Torah says in many places, welcome the stranger in your midst, because you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You know what it was like. You were slaves, so remember and be kind to them. But later in Israel's history, there were some spectacular instances of foreigners corrupting Israel's faith and causing them to worship other gods. Unfortunately, King Solomon was the most notorious example, with all his foreign wives and concubines, making him get far too enthusiastic about their gods. But Psalm 96 calls us back to first principles, saying to the Jews, we don't need to be afraid of other nations because God made them all in the first place. And one day, every knee will bow, and the whole created order will acknowledge God as Lord. So let's dive in and see how this psalm works. It's got two parts. First part is verses 1 to 9, and then second part is verses 10 to 13. And you can see the structure of part 1 really clearly because the verse numbers help us out. It splits into three, and three verses each. Very tidy. The first part, verses 1 to 3, is an exhortation. Then verses 4 to 6 is a declaration. So the first part is a call to worship, and the second part is giving us reasons why to worship. And then the final section, 7 to 9, is another exhortation. Now, what do I mean by those long words, exhortation and declaration? Well, let me give you an illustration. Football chants. Some football chants are exhortations. Come on, you Spurs, would be a classic example. Yeah. And other chants tell you things, like this one about a famous player called Peter Crouch, who played for Liverpool, who wear a red kit, and was very, very tall. He's big, he's red, his feet stick out the bed. That's a declaration, isn't it? Telling you something about the esteemed Mr. Crouch. Whereas, come on you Spurs, is the fans saying, we are asking you, the Spurs, to come on. See the difference? One's telling people to do something, the other's saying, why? Or just describing something. So the psalm begins, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Come on, you world, worship God. And then in verses 4 to 6, we're told why, in a declaration. Why should we worship God? Well, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. And then the third part swings back to exhortation. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And how do we know that part one ends at verse 9? Well, because the earth is mentioned again. It came in verse 1, it comes in verse 9. And that's a very common poetic technique called an inclusio. It wraps up a whole section. So you can see very clearly how this has been laid out, can't you? So to part two, which isn't as clear on the page, and the verse numbers don't help us here. But again, there are three parts, but this time the other way around. There's two declarations and one exhortation. So what is the psalm saying as a whole? Well, it begins, as I've said, come on, world, worship God. And gives us a reason, because God made everything. All these other gods that you've heard of, they're nothing. They aren't gods at all. So come and worship the real God. Give him the glory that's rightfully his. Worship him in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him. What a powerful thought that is. Nations that have ignored the God of the universe, having their eyes open to see him as he really is, and coming trembling on their knees into the splendor of his holiness. Think of Isaiah's terrifying vision, God on his throne, the ground shaking at the booming voices of the seraphim yelling, holy, holy, holy. So come on, you nations, clutching your idols, put them down and let me show you what a real God looks like. That's what this psalm is saying. And verse 10 summarizes the message, doesn't it? Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And then the sky and the sea and the land are all called to join in the last exhortation, verses 11 and 12. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound, everything there is. Let it all join together in one song of worship. So this final triumphant picture is given to us of all creation worshipping and rejoicing before God as God comes to judge the world in righteousness and truth. Wow, what a picture. Do you think Paul had this in mind when he composed that poem in the middle of Philippians? Do you remember, we looked at Philippians last year, and in the center of Philippians is this glorious poem about Jesus. First of all, describing how he humbled himself, died on the cross, and then how he was exalted by God and given a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess you are Lord. One day, every knee will bow. Now, last night, I was talking to Pastor A.O. Emmanuel from the Redeemed Church of God, who meet in Jackson Hall. He's bringing his choir to lead the worship and word events next Wednesday here, well, there in the church, at 7:30 in the evening. The choir came to rehearse last night, and let me tell you, they sound amazing. So do come if you can. It's going to be a really inspiring evening. That's by the way, but the reason I mention them is that we were talking about the relative weakness of the church in this country compared to the relative strength of the church in Nigeria, where Ayo hails from. It's not perfect, but it's certainly doing a lot better than we are. And we're saying to each other, we know that one day all the world will know that Jesus is Lord. We know that because the Bible's told us in Psalm 96 and in Philippians chapter 2. One day everybody will see. Isn't it a shame that they can't find out for themselves right now? But in our worship, we catch a glimpse, just a glimpse of that immense and wonderful glory, the splendor of his holiness. So let's be inspired again by the greatness of our God. Let's be encouraged again to do what we can when we get the opportunity to mention all this wonderful stuff to our friends and neighbors. To say, come on, think about it. Think about it, because one day you will know whether you like it or not. Come and join in sooner rather than later. Come and worship the God of the universe. Amen.